come, man, and get fat and everything else. But at the same time, man, let me tell you something. I'll feed you a fish, but I ain't going to feed you no fish forever. I'm going to try to teach you how to fish so that you can get your own fish. So I can continue to feed you, and you'll be all right with that. And satisfied, that'll keep you. But, boy, when you can, man, go catch your own fish, then you can go feed somebody else, too, yourself. You can go in and sow yourself. You think I just for preachers and all that to do the book and all the ministry and everything. I know the work of the preachers. That's why I say we out of line, too. Man, our responsibility, man, is to train up, man, the church, the members, man, for the work of the ministry. We want the preacher to go to the hospital and lay hands on the sick. Man, that's your job. We want the preacher, like the preacher, to do all the work. And, man, especially if a preacher gets taken in the fall, man, he gets the worst judgment, man. And so is being and everything else. But, man, let me tell you something. My responsibility is to train you up for the work of your ministry. You got just as much responsibility, man, as representing, man, Christ on the earth as we do. That's what our job is, to go and, man, make disciples out of you, make ambassadors out of you, let you know that you're a king, too. You're a representative of Christ, too. That's what you're supposed to be. That's what has been restored back to you. With all power. Not some power. All power. All the power of heaven is available to us. All the powers of the earth that God gave Adam in Genesis chapter 1 available to us. And even power under the earth. Even power over this physical death. This physical body and his decay and his death. Even power over death, that's under the grave. All power. And let me tell you something. All that power that I'm talking about, that's been restored back to you. You have that. So, boy, if you don't know how to operate in that power, in that dunamis, and that and the power of the Holy Ghost, man, let me tell you something. You blow something up, blow your skin up. That's why, man, there's not enough, man, to know all these things and know that all that's available to us. But you got to grow up in that. You got to grow up in that culture. We talking about the culture of this and the culture of that, and we as a people of color don't have no culture and all that. Yeah, you do. We have the original culture. The culture of heaven. Your original citizenship was in heaven. And when you came down to the earth, man, you know, when God brought us down to the earth and placed us in, man, this dirt body that we lived in, a damn dark earth, then, man, he gave us an assignment. What, man, to, man, establish the culture of heaven? You mean, that's why we ain't got no culture, because, man, perhaps we don't get caught up with all these other people establishing a culture. And, man, get back to what our real responsibility was, man, as we claim to be the original people. Now to do what, man? To establish a culture of heaven on earth. That's what our culture is, glory to God. We don't have no culture. Yeah, we do. We just don't know, man, what our assignment is and what it is. But boy, this day, in these last days, man, God is pouring out his spirit upon all flesh, man. The boy, blind eyes are being opened. I ain't talking about no physical blind eyes. I'm talking about spiritual blind eyes. Blind to the truth of who we really are and what we really have. And where we really come from, and why we really here, and what we really can do, and where we really gonna end up at. Listen, I told you about what Genesis said, man. I told you God declared the end from the beginning. He showed us the end first in Genesis chapter 1. And then you hear some people say sometimes, hey, I know what I done read the back of the book, everything all right. That's just a figure of saying. But let me tell you something what they say in the back of the book. In Revelation chapter 20. And Genesis chapter 1. It's at the beginning of the book. God showed us the end first. Let's make them just like us in our image, our character, our nature, and in our likeness. Like us. Live like us. Talk like us. Walk like us. Reign like us. Be like us. Just like us. And let it be on their territory just like it is in our territory. So he planted a little carbon copy of it and called it Eden. See how it on earth. You ain't too busy, man. Why I say the devil got you preoccupied with man trying to get to hell. Hope you live right, man, to get to heaven. Like you're going to go and spend eternity in heaven. That ain't what, man, this thing's all about. Boy, you're going to spend eternity in heaven on earth. I'm going to say that again. Yeah, you're going to spend eternity in heaven on earth. Not in God's heaven. That's his territory. The heaven belongs to God. The earth is your territory. Listen, at the end of the Bible, people say, I read the end of the book. Let me tell you what it says in the end of the book. It'll help you to understand that. In Revelation chapter 20, the Bible said this. And behold, I saw a new, excuse me. I saw a new heaven. And I saw a new earth. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem. First it said this here, and the dragon and the false prophet and the Antichrist and the devil and all his cohorts and all his angels and all of their persuaded to go with him. It was all cast into the lake of fire. The devil reigned, it was all over. No more evil. And then it says, then behold, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem. Boy, that's the other man coming down to earth. And all, I didn't say you ain't going to go to heaven. To be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Our Father, which art where? In heaven. So when you leave this physical body, we're going to heaven. But that ain't where we're going to reign at forever. At the end of the Bible, no, that's what it says. And I saw a new Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the dwelling place, the holy city, the city of peace, man, you know, coming down from heaven. You know what it says? And they shall reign on the earth. What does it say, Arthur? You read it, man, Revelation chapter 20. And they shall reign on the earth. And listen, it didn't say they shall reign on the earth. That ain't it. And they shall reign on the earth forever. And here's the icing on the cake. And the Bible says, and the dwelling place of God was with his children. It was just like it was, man, with Adam and Eve and God in the Garden of Eden, man, before they ate off that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It was heaven on earth in that little place, in that garden. It was heaven on earth. It wasn't earth going to heaven. It was heaven, man, colonizing earth. It was a colony of heaven. Same thing that was going on in heaven was going on in earth. Same culture, same nature, same way of living, man. Same thing. Well, God set that up. I ain't talking about, man, what my church doing, what denomination's doing, what Christian doing, what the Baptist doing, what the Methodist doing. Say, listen, man, they got all these people talking about this, and everybody got their opinion and everything else, man. Who can open up this book, man, and really tell us, man, what's really going on? And then they look around and say, hey, no, man, this ain't Revelation chapter 5. They say, nobody was able to open up the scroll and to loose the seal thereof and tell us what's really going on. Oh, yo, well, this will say that. You know, Muhammad say this. Buddha say this. The Hindus say that. How the Christians say this. Scientology say this. The Christians say that. Muhammad, the Muslims say this. Man, who can tell us what's really going on? Hey, man, none of us. Nobody can tell you what's really going on. Because, man, it's all our opinion. And our opinion, man, you know something about our opinions? You develop into, after a time, it develop into tradition. And then our traditions make the real opinion of none effect. What? The word of God, of none effect in our lives. Of none effect in our lives. He said, so who can really tell you what's going on? Because in all our little messages, and they were all of them got some truth in it. Listen, Adam and Eve didn't just eat off the tree of evil in the garden. They ate the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They got some good in all the religions and everything. And I tell you, got good in them. Just enough good to cover up, man, the evil. Like a fisherman do a fish. You put a good bait, the bait is good. It's the hook of evil. The bait don't snatch him out of his environment that he conduces to live in, the water. It's the hook. He don't see the hook. All he sees is the good bait. And when you go after that good bait, in other words, man, he deceived. A deception is a little bit stronger than a lie. A deception is truth mixed with a lie. Oh, Lord. That's what the enemy used, man, against Adam and Eve. A deception. No, man, he comes. And it was on earth, just like it is. In him. And this shall reign on the earth for him. back in chapter 5 to say nobody could open up the book, man, because we all had our opinion and everything else, and we all meant well, and it had some good, had some truth in it, but it wasn't the whole truth. It was a truth, but it wasn't the truth. And then they begin to weep. And they say, oh, no, hold up, man. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he has prevailed to open up the book, who was slain before the foundation of the world. He clean. He can open up the book, and he can tell us what's really going on. What you saying, Arthur? Hey, man, who can tell us what's really going on? Man, not the Muslim, not the Christian, not the Hindu, not the Muslim, not the Hindu. No, who can tell us what's really going on? Well, your big brother, Jesus Christ, your Father in heaven, they can tell you what's really going on. They're the ones who know the truth. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man coming back into this place that I'm talking about except by me. What's that, boy? Let me tell you something, boy. When he be getting ready to begin his earthly ministry, man, and when he went down to the old Jordan River where John was conducting the baptismal, man, and the Holy Spirit, how he was baptized, the Holy Spirit descended upon him, and a voice from heaven came and said, this is my beloved son. Hear ye him. In other words, you didn't hear what Isaiah said and what Jeremiah said and what Moses and Isaiah and David and all of them said. And all that was a means to an end. But, boy, this is it here. You really want to know the truth of what's really going on? You hear him. You hear what he's saying. He the one. All the other ones, man, were speaking from my permissive will. Not my perfect will. My permissive will for my people's life because they were living in trespassing and sin. So I couldn't talk to them the same way I was talking to Adam and Eve before they ate out the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When I was in the garden with Adam and Eve, remember when I say Adam, I'm talking about everybody. I was in the garden with them, man, and when I was talking to them, man, there wasn't no unbroken fellowship. There wasn't no sin. There wasn't none of that in there. Hold on. What you talking about, Arthur? I'm talking about, boy, the law of the spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. You're talking about, boy, what God is doing. And, boy, the only one that can reveal to us, boy, what God is doing, right, is, boy, God himself. And he chose to do it, man, through his son, Jesus the Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Christ, the son of the living God. And he chose to do it, man, through his son by the power of the Holy Spirit. In other words, through his ability, through his power. This is God at work, man. The Bible says, unless the Lord build a house, your labor is that thing. This is what God's doing. That's what I'm talking about. I ain't talking about religion. See, religion is what man is doing for God. And it's good things. But I ain't talking about that, man. I ain't talking about what you got to do, man, for God and try to get and appease God and to get in right standing with God. That's religion. You trying to make it in. Trying my best to make it in. Man, that's religion. I ain't talking about, man, what us trying to save ourselves, man. I'm talking about, boy, relationships. I'm not talking about what, man, you can do for God. I'm talking about what God has done for us and is doing for us. That's the difference between the gospel of the kingdom, man, and all the religious messages. All the religious messages, man, is about what we got to do, man, for him. And what we got to do to appease him. And what we got to do, man, to get from him. And what we got to do, man, to deserve, man, what he do for us. Yeah, boy, listen, my message ain't about that, man. Listen, the best you can do is like filthy rags. Your righteousness is like filthy rags, man. I ain't talking about, man, what we can do for him to appease him. I'm talking about, boy, what he done for us because he loves us, glory to God. And I'm persuaded, baby, that nothing and ever be able to separate us, man, from this love, man. Nothing. That's what I come on this radio broadcast to let you know, man. That, boy, there's a life that's available to us. I ain't talking about, man, see, in the Bible, there's three, the word in King James is not a real good translation, you know. You got other better translations. A good translation is the NIV. In the King James Version, you got the word life, L-I-F-E. And all through the Bible, that's what it is. But in some of those places in the Bible, man, they mean different things. You know, One is a life of the flesh. It's physical life. That's what we know. That's what really dictates to us. The bios. That's what the word is in the Greek. Bios. What that is. That's physical life. That's a life of the flesh. That concerns the period and the duration of our lives. The time that we live in, the manner of our lives. The way we live physically, eating and drinking and physical food and everything else. And the maintenance of it and the livelihood of it. That's the external life. Another place in the Bible, man, is talking about where God say, and he breathed into man's nostrils, the breath of life. That's not physical life right there. He breathed into the physical body, the breath of life. That word life there is the life of the soul. Your mind, your heart, your will, your emotions, your natural life, your personal life, you. That's suitcase. That's the soul. That's what most messages, man, as far as most messages get, man, in religion. It's to the soul. Stir up your emotions. Make you feel something. Give you hope for tomorrow and everything else. But there's another life called Zoe. That's life in the absolute sense. Life as God has it. Life as God lives it, and life as God originally intended for us to live. What? The God kind of life. Absolute life. The life of God. Eternal life. Everlasting life. Abundant life. Superior in quality and superior in quantity. The life of God. The God kind of life. We just been living natural life, man, and physical life, man. When all the time, man, Jesus Christ came that we might have life. And that more abundantly. What, man? That original life, the life of God, the eternal life, everlasting life. Life with all authority, with all dominion, and with all power, ruling and reigning in that life. That's the Zoe. That's the life that, man, I'm talking about in him was life. That's what I'm talking about, that which was from the beginning. In him was life. And the life was the light of man. Well, it shined in men who didn't know nothing about that. It was illumination. It was information. It was knowledge. Well, who you really are and what you really can do. You're not just mere men and mere women. Man, we the sons and daughters of the Most High God. That's something that's might be laying dominant on the inside of you, man, called the spirit of a man. That's the real you. That's the you that's created in the image and likeness of God. That's the you that can do all things through Christ. Who fit to you. That's the you that's a reigning ruler. If you're in a male body, a reigning king. If you're in a female body, a reigning queen. That has all power. That can do all things. That as Christ was, we the same way. And instead of mimicking him, we try to be like this ministry or that ministry or this congregation or that congregation or this organization or that organization or this movie star or this basketball player or this famous player or this dead man. We ought to be trying to be like who we really are. Man, just like Jesus, the Son of the Most High God. That's who you are. Man, we need to grow up in that. And listen, it's a good thing to know that's who you are, man, but you got to come to the place after you know who you are, then you got to accept that. Like I say, Jesus say, my sheep hear my voice. What you telling me, I don't tell you, man, that all of the kingdom of heaven, everything that God is doing in your life, what God is doing in us. And all he asks for is our assistance in helping him accomplish what his will is and his purpose is for our life. Many are the plans in our hearts. And they ain't bad plans. All of us want to succeed. All of us want to prosper in this natural life that I was talking about that we live in, man, in this duration of life and this manner of life, man. That's this life of the flesh. And many of us, man, you know, want to feel good and have good emotions and have, you know, be happy and joyful and peaceful and all of that life with a soul. But boy, to have all of that, you got to get first, man, your real life back. Oh boy, say you got to be Jesus told Nicodemus, if you want this out, what I'm talking about, you got to be born again. Listen, my time is almost up. But he told Nicodemus, man, this life that I'm talking about right now, you got to be born again. You had it one time. You was born in it one time. Nicodemus said, can I go back into my mother's womb and be born again? He said, no, nigga, I ain't talking about no physical birth because you can't do that but once. There's a point that the man wants that way to be born again after that, the resurrection. But he's talking about, no, you were first born of the Spirit. You come from God. Your original birth was a spiritual birth. You come from God. You're an offspring of God. Our Father which art in heaven. Where you come from? You come from God. Where God is, man, he in heaven. How you know I come from God? Because, man, God spoke to himself when he wanted you. He said, let us. And from us that he was talking about came you and I, came us. So we come from him. Where he at? He in heaven. The offspring, man, from him. You know what human is? A human is, it comes from two words. Humus, man. Humus is earthy, dirty. Man is spirit. So a human is a spirit that lives in an earthen vessel, a dirt body, a human. My wife used to get on me all the time and say, I say the word man too much on the broadcast. You know, and I do. You know, and I listen to it. But, man, I ain't trying to justify this. But, man, that's who I'm talking to. Because, see, the word spirit don't have a gender. They're not no female or male spirit. It's just man, spirit being. Now, they have a female body and a male body. But man, all of us is man. What? Spirit being. Little children of the Most High God, offsprings of God, spirits. Same kind of spirit just like Jesus. Everything Jesus have, we have. Everything, man, that the Bible says we heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. And let me throw this in while I'm right here, you know. Let me tell you what God has started and what God is saying and what God is doing, he's going to complete that. He's going to complete that. Even if he don't complete it in your life here up on the earth, that don't stop nothing, man. Let me tell you something. The gates of hell should not prevail against God's church. And man, the kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Death can't stop this kingdom, man, from advancing and being. Death can't stop, man, God's word. I told you, there's a law in the kingdom called a law of the spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. It sets you free from the law of sin and death. If you get what I'm telling you and let it get down to your spirit, it'll set you free from the law of sin and death. And it'll set you on course or back on course towards your God-given purpose and destiny. What's your God-given purpose and destiny? That you be just like your Father in heaven. That you be the express image of him. That we walk like him, talk like him, live like him, think like him, rule like him, feel like him, have the same emotion, everything just like him. Reigning in life. Don't worry. That's the destination. And he's saying to us through this radio broadcast, man, if you can understand this, he's saying to you, okay, if you see that destination, if you can see that, I told you, come to open blind eyes. And the Lord said, if you can see that destination, yeah, that you just like me. If you can see, man, that's the destiny that I have set for your life. That he's going to be in your life here on earth just like it is in heaven. He's saying, man, if you can see that, if you can see that finish line, if you can see that mark, he said, on your mark, that word means set your face flint toward that destination, toward the finish line. That's what on your mark means. Get ready to head toward the finish line. They say, get set. You already know where you're headed now, what, to the finish line. See, if you don't know where you're headed, you're just getting out there and running all over the place. Bible says if you don't know where you're going, you can get on any road out there, and it'll take you there. I'm going to say that again. If you don't know where you're going, you can go out there and go in any direction you want to. It'll take you there. You don't know where you're going. But if you know where you're going, hey, not only can you go, man, you can chart your course toward that destination. But you got to know where you're going. If you don't know where you're going, well, you can just take any road. Go on, you know. So you know where you're going, boy. You're on your mark. You're set. Now go. What do you say, Arthur? Now go. He took boy Abraham, I don't know who that was, Abraham or Moses, one of them. He took him up on the mountain and told him, man, he said, listen, you see all that land over there? I think that must have been Abraham. He said, that's your inheritance. I'm giving that to you. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a type and shadow, man, of what we call the Garden of Eden. Or it's a type and shadow of the of heaven on earth. He took him on the mountain and showed him all that land. And then he brought him back down, man, to where the valley was low, and man, it was barren land. He said, now go and get your inheritance. He said, I'm giving you that. That's yours. That belonged to you. When he took him on the mountain and showed him all that, man, all his blessings and everything that he had for him, if God could take you up and show you, man, who you really are and all your purpose and all your destiny and how great you are and all the things that he has in store for you, then he'll bring you all the way back down, man, to where you are in your life right now on this earth and tell you, okay, now all that I showed you, that's yours. Now you go get your stuff. And every bit of ground that the sole of your feet tread upon, you shall possess it. I'm going to give you everything that you have need of. I'm going to give you the keys to every door that might be locked. I'm going to give you the keys to it. It ain't no key to the door in it. But once you get in it, man, you might face some issues, man. You got to know some things. So I'm going to give you the information and the knowledge and the keys, man, to open every door, man, to have all those blessings that belong to you. I'm going to give you the keys to it. And not only am I going to give you the keys to it, because if I just give you a whole bunch of keys, so if I just give you the keys, then you'll just be fumbling around that door because you don't know what key open what door. So I'm going to teach you, and I'm going to train you up, and I'm going to edify you, and I'm going to build you up, man, for the work of your ministry. So that you can go, man, and open doors in other people's lives. So that you can go set the captives free. So that you can go, man, set in liberty all those who are bound. So that we can go into all the world and make disciples of all men as well. So that, boy, we can fulfill our God-given destiny, man. What is that, man? To be like our Father in heaven, man, and inspiring others to be so as well. To rule and reign on earth, man, over all our circumstance, situation, and symptoms in life while inspiring others to do so as we being like our Father, becoming who we already are. So when you start on that mark and start heading toward that destination, I mean, man, you done got hooked up and engrafted, man, to the Word. And all you got to do now, man, is just continue in the Word. The Bible says, boy, you continue in the Word, you're going to know the truth. And the truth that, listen, the truth ain't going to set you free. It's the truth that you know. It says you shall know the truth. And the truth that you know, that's what's going to set you free. Not just truth in itself. You got to know the truth. God asked me, my mama one time, and when she was telling me, it was just like he was asking me. He asked her one time, say, how would you feel if you knew everything was all right? Now, mommy, he didn't say, how would you feel if everything was all right? He said, how would you feel if you knew everything was all right? She said, Lord, I can't even explain how I feel. I feel awesome. And he told her, well, feel that way. Hey, you know what? In order for you to feel that way, and you can feel that way, but in order for you to feel that way, you got to know that everything is all right. You got to know that everything is all right. You got to know that your life is hid in him. You got to know, boy, what it means when you say God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting, not just life, but death more abundantly. Superior in quality and superior in quantity. Not just a good natural life. Not just a good prosperous natural life where you got money and houses and land and everything else. Listen, that ain't the blessing of God. The blessing of God, man, not, man, is to be able to say, man, hey, I remember the story, man, I close with this here, boy. The Catholic ministry, man, the Catholic religion took one Holy Ghost field believer down there to the Vatican and took him down there with all the gold and all the silver and all the wealth that the Catholic have. And he said, hey, man, see, we can't say like old Peter up at the gate, silver and gold have we not. He was showing them all the wealth of the Catholic Church. They said, we can't say like old Peter and John, silver and gold have we not. And the man of God said, and neither can you say, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. So you can have all the treasures of heaven, man, but boy, let me tell you something, man, not a dollar of your million, man, can get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You could be a trillionaire, man, and can't nail one of your trillion dollars, man, get your sins forgiven you, man. You could be, man, to have all the gold and all the silver, man, and not a drop of it, man, could buy you, man, a ticket to hell.